Hi, welcome to See What Show, the movie, TV and DVD review podcast for regular people. I'm Mr. Brown.
And I'm Ling. Hello.
Hello, hello. We're back with new reviews for Michael Clayton.
The Heartbreak Kid, which has been going on for some time.
Yeah, I think it's going to continue going on.
Yeah, man.
One of those shows. And Death Sentence.
Whoa, ominous. Ding, ding, ding,
ding. Ding, 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 ding. But first, what is showing this week?
What's showing this week?
What's showing this week? Much drama at the end of the paper.
Well, I don't know about what's showing this week, because I think that some of the old ones are going to continue, like The Heartbreak Kid. But I'm very interested in catching Wong Kar-wai's My Blueberry Nights. Looks very interesting.
Chinese movie.
I don't know, like, Ang Moh Faces?
Yeah, got Ang Moh Faces, and they got Wong Kar-wai. Like,
that's why. I'm just wondering, is it going to be one of those with the moody music?
Oh,
and,
no.
You know, I'm
nobody
wondering
talking.
If Tony Leung will make cameo, that type of thing.
The kind that not much talking one, and then like the fella says two sentences.
Correct. Then you see
words.
The camera on the ear or the finger. You know, that kind.
We all know his kind of movie, right?
That's right.
What else is showing? Elizabeth, the Cate Blanchett thing, where she's got nominated, I think, for Best Actress.
Again.
I don't know. It's just nominated for Best Actress for Golden Globe and all that stuff. But I'm just wondering, is it for her previous turn as Elizabeth, or is it for this one?
It can't be for this, right? It's too early. I
just don't understand. So it's very, very, very deceiving. It's just nominated for Best Actress Golden Globe.
What deceiving is purposely one?
I don't know. It's been garnering bad reviews, and I'm a bit wary. I like period dramas. I want to watch, but I'm very worried. Go there and you get disappointed.
But publicity is all sorts of publicity is good, right?
True, true, true.
You want to see how bad it can get.
And then talking about publicity, AVP2, Alien vs. Predator. That's the second one. Getting a lot of hype, and the fans are holding their breath. But so far, early reviews say, like, not so hot.
Not hot, huh?
Yeah, I'm watching it soon. Mm. So,
you can tell us.
I can tell you. Yes. I can tell you soon. In fact, the next See What Show, I'll tell you already.
Okay.
In fact, I might even ask Kai, my other friend, the one who reviewed Golden Compass, for his learned opinion.
Okay.
He has very strong opinions about movies like this because he's a fan, right?
So, and we need strong opinions.
Yeah, we need, like, foaming in the mouth strong opinions. Okay, let's jump into review time.
See What Show, review time.
Michael Clayton. Watch the sneak preview midnight. It's a George Clooney vehicle.
Sexy.
I know, he's very good, I have to admit.
And then I wake up this morning and I hear that you're calling this girl from Wisconsin and you're messing with documents and God knows whatever else.
How can
They're
you
gonna
know that?
They're going to take everything away from you. Your partnership, your equity.
How can you know who
They're
I called?
They're going to pull your license.
How do you know
Marty
I called
told
Anna?
Me. Are you denying it?
Well, how does he know?
They're putting everything on the table. You need to stop and think this through. I will help you think this through. I'll find somebody to help you think this through. Don't do this. You're making it easy for them. I'm not the enemy.
Then who are you?
He is this guy called Michael Clayton. So the movie's named after his character.
Yes.
Who is a fixer in a big-time law firm. Mm. A fixer is like a guy who does all the dirty work. You know, things which are kind of borderline legal and things which are outright illegal, you know, like maybe meddling with evidence, bribing people, that kind of thing. But he's a lawyer himself, it's just that he's a fixer. His law firm is Kenner, Buck and Leiden, and they've been working on this really, really big lawsuit, big case, for this 6 years already. It's a class action suit against U-North, which is their client. It's an agricultural company being sued because farmers and their families died using their chemical product.
Mm.
Yeah, one of their agricultural products. So Arthur Edens, played by Tom Wilkinson, is this super smart lead attorney for the case. And Arthur is Michael's close friend as well.
Mm.
In the course of the case, Arthur's depression kicks in. He's manic depressive. And, okay. And he also, like, not only loses it, he develops this overwhelming sense of guilt working on the case. And Michael has to kind of, like, try to ensure Arthur doesn't derail one of the most lucrative cases for the company, the firm, and rein him in, basically. Meanwhile, Karen Crowder, which is UNOF's head legal counsel, like head of legal services, she's acted by Tilda Swinton. She's struggling to make sure that nothing gets in the way of the case. So there's all these people involved in this very, very heavy, heavy case. I have to say right now, it is not a popcorn movie.
I could tell. It's called characters fixer.
Yeah.
And then, you know, head legal.
Don't be deceived by what they call a thriller. Right. You know, they like to use these terms to describe movies. Huh? Psychological thriller. It's not a thriller. It's really a drama movie, okay? We watched The Midnight Snakes, right? People walk out of the movie halfway.
Yeah, it's like, hey, bluff me.
Yeah, because they probably couldn't take the pace or they didn't get the story so right. far. It took such a long time to get to that point. And I was telling my brother later on, it's almost as if the people were like, eh, poor quality, no bolang shooting in it. Well, see me, love thriller. Oh, wow. The fella never kill anybody. Then don't know what the story about. Allow bluff people. Yeah, so they walked out.
I see.
Yeah, it took a long time to get to the point. I mean, the story itself is not really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You can probably explain the whole plot in one sentence.
Mm-hmm.
But it is in the storytelling and the acting that the movie really shines. And the movie starts, in fact, at the beginning, somewhere at the end of the movie.
Oh, okay.
Then it flashes back.
I see.
So you get lost for like at least 30 to 45 minutes.
Okay.
Before you go, I see what's happening. If you're not patient, cannot watch.
Okay. So no like courtroom drama or something like that?
Very little. Very little. That is not a courtroom drama movie.
Okay.
Josh Clooney really did this well. I mean, his acting up there.
Yeah. He's his brooding presence, right?
Yeah. But he's been very clever. Like he does the pay the bills kind of movies like Ocean's 105th. And then he does these, you know, and he does like the Good German.
Mm.
Yeah, which is interesting. So he played this flawed anti-hero, you know, who's like reluctantly trying to do the right thing. Yeah, he does it so well. And the other stand-up performances came from Tom Wilkinson's brilliant turn as the mad genius lawyer. Arthur, he's brilliant. I mean, he's a brilliant lawyer, but he's mad as hell. It's crazy.
Okay.
And his lines are probably the best lines in the movie. He's the guy who acted as Carmine Falcone in Batman Begins.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a British actor, so people don't really know him well, but yet when they see his face, like, he's very familiar.
Correct. Yeah. One of those character actors.
One of those, yeah. Tilda Swinton, the legal counsel, she doesn't have that many lines, but she captures that nervous breakdown that Karen was having dealing with the case. I mean, everything's riding on the case and she's helming it from the client side.
This is totally unacceptable. This is a $3 billion class action lawsuit. In the morning, I have to call my board. I have to tell them that the architect of our entire defense has been arrested for running naked in a snowstorm, chasing the plaintiffs through a parking lot.
I understand. Look, his wife was sick and she died last year. His daughter doesn't talk to him. He's all alone. All he does is your case. He skipped his pills. He had a bad day. That's it.
And you're somehow the authority on this?
His last episode was 8 years ago. I was there. I helped bring him home. I watched him get better. That's it. Come on, Karen. You didn't hire this guy because of his low-key regularity. You hired him because he's a killer and because he's brilliant and because he's crazy enough to grind away on a case like this for 6 years without a break.
Excuse me, we pay for his time.
I thought you wanted an explanation.
And she has this collected front in the boardroom in front of the cameras as well. Then next media, and the next moment, she's like practicing her lines at home, you know, being nervous and almost having a nervous breakdown. And then the next moment, you see her delivering a speech in front of the TV cameras. Everything's fine at UNorth and, you know, we believe that everything will be fine. So it's very jarring and it's brilliant. Tilda Swinton is the Gabriel the Angel in Constantine. I don't know if you watch Constantine or not. She's this androgynous character in Constantine. And she was the White Witch in Chronicles of Narnia.
I see.
That's her.
That's very, very big differences in the
big
roles.
Very big role. And in Constantine, she was this thin and, you know, chestless, androgynous angel, right? Here, she's really an overweight middle-aged executive. They even have one part they show her the flap because she was just wearing her bra and her skirt in the room while she was practicing her lines. And you can see all the flap. And it's deliberate, I'm sure, to show that whole, you know, malaise that's set in, you know, for people like her who are rising up the corporate ladder. And she's got this fat flap. It's not very pretty. You know, you will either hate this movie or you will love this movie. Okay, so if you love it, you will watch it a second time.
Wow.
Yeah, because the first time you watch it, you get the story.
Right, okay.
The second time, you want to watch it to see how they told the story.
Correct.
Yeah, it's actually worth doing it. And then if you don't like the movie, then you walk out, like those guys. Yeah, so don't expect a thriller.
Well, we move from a heavyweight to a
super duper lightweight.
Fluff! The Heartbreak Kid.
You watched that?
Yes.
Ben Stiller.
Of course, he's done a lot of movies like this. So I watched The Heartbreak Kid over the weekend, and I can understand why it's that kind of show that will be very steady at the box office. Well, if you haven't already seen it, the story is just basically about Ben Stiller, and he plays Eddie, who starts the show as marriage phobic. He's marriage phobic,
okay.
Right?
Well, for one thing, I've only known her for 6 weeks.
That's half a summer, Eddie. I proposed to your mother after 3 dates. She gave me 18 of the best years of my life.
You were engaged to Jody for 5 years. What could that do you?
All right, yeah, but there's other stuff, too.
Such as?
She doesn't have a great sense of humor.
Are you out of your mind? Funny's a male gene, you idiot. Haven't you ever noticed whenever you see a really funny girl, she's a little mannish? Think about it. Lily Tomlin, Evelyn DeGeneres, Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh, I got a thing for Ellen DeGeneres, though. I do. I have to admit it. I think she's great. I think she's hot. Great ass. Check it out.
All right, you know what? Forget that stuff, okay? She's wonderful. She's an incredible girl. There's no better, okay? Still, just the idea of marriage, it's just so permanent, you know? It's like at the end of the day, I'm choosing between Lila and all the other women in the world.
You've barely nailed any of the other women in the world.
He's always getting scolded and being dispensed advice from his screen father, who's incidentally also his real father, Jerry Stiller.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Jerry Stiller. From Seinfeld?
Yeah,
that's right.
In that case.
So anyway, Eddie's ex-fiancée gets married at the start of the show. And so he suddenly feels like even more pressure to join the married club. You know, of course, at the start, everybody, you know, just whacks him about not getting married. Even a table of kids that he ends up sitting with, because that's supposed to be the table for the singles. Yes.
Oh, dear.
He feels all this pressure. And then as all fairy tale stories, he meets this beautiful girl called Lila, and they have a whirlwind romance, and then he ends up marrying her.
Right.
But of course, also with all good convenient stories, he finds that she's not what he expected her to be, you know?
Yes.
And then, in fact, she proves to be this total maniac on their honeymoon in Mexico. And what is worse is that he meets and falls in love with this girl that he really likes. He feels no pressure whatsoever, but he just ends up falling in love with this other girl on the honeymoon. Very familiar. Comedy of errors, you know, basically a lot of white lies, comedy of errors, you know. What should he do? Should he divorce his wife on his honeymoon? You know, should he give her another chance? Blah, blah, blah.
You're Miranda, right?
I am.
I'm Eddie.
Nice to meet you officially.
Nice to meet you too.
You know who figured out how to do it right? The people who live in the spots where the rest of us vacation.
Oh, yeah, you mean like those perma-vacationers.
Yeah.
Though I don't know. You think they're really having that good a time?
Oh, hell yeah.
Really?
Oh, of course.
Really? I don't know. I mean, I always feel like those people, like, must be running from something.
They're running from their boring lives. You know, most people get 2 or 3 weeks of vacation to have fun. These people, man, they party all year round.
Yeah. Where are you from?
Oxford, Mississippi.
Oh, really?
So, it's funny to watch, but it's really no stretch. It's not really high art. Watch it for Ben Stiller, who's you know, perfected this art of deadpan.
Yeah.
In terms of if you are looking out for gags, right, in such movies you would, then there aren't that many from him. But it's actually kind of the supporting cast that perform most of the physical comedy. For instance, some of it's really B-grade, right? Like you have Marlon Ockerman. She's this Canadian actress who plays his wife. Mm. She squirts soup from her nostrils because of a past drug problem. I know, exactly. She gets things stuck in her nostrils.
Okay, so that's an ongoing running joke thing.
Something like that.
Oh, dear.
But for me, the most hilarious moment was actually seeing Ben Stiller try to cross the US-Mexico border. Because, of course, when his wife finds out that he's fallen in love with another woman, she burns his belongings, including his passport. So he's stuck in Mexico, and you see him trying to cross the US-Mexican border. And that was really quite funny for me.
Okay.
So no-brainer, but the plot develops very quickly, and it's quite predictable. So, you know, it's not a stressful movie to watch.
Like, compared to his other Ben Stiller movies, right? Like Meet the Fockers, and what's the other one he did? Something About Mary.
Yes.
Not as strong as those. Stronger and better, same. Because I enjoyed those.
Yeah, I think, no, I think they were better.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think Meet the Fockers, at least the payoff at the end, like, you know, he's this loser character, and then in the end, okay, it works out for him, but this one...
No. The gags, I mean, that's from a gags perspective. No, not no, as funny as
I
well.
I don't think so.
People will still watch it, so...
They will, so, you know.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Okay, from comedy to something very, very depressing.
Oh, no.
Death Sentence.
Death Sentence.
Yeah, you may have seen the trailers for this one.
I'll make a deal in 5 minutes. Get this guy in jail today. Easy peasy.
Deal. Wait. Hang on. What do you mean? What deal? I want this guy to go away for the rest of his life.
No. I can get you 3 to 5 guaranteed. That's a very decent result. I'm talking guaranteed time. Not maybe. Not the jury didn't feel up to it. That's worth more than chasing some make-believe 10 to life and the guy walks free. You want that?
Kevin Bacon, one of my favorite actors, acts in this one. He's this guy called Nick Hume, who is a very good father.
Mm.
He's a VP, a senior VP in a Fortune 500 company. He has a beautiful wife. He has 2 beautiful, wonderful boys who are, you know, perfect. They do well in school. They're good sons. Then he and his older son, his favorite son, they go petrol station in the best side of town. They meet some gang members and disaster ensues.
Oh, like that?
Yeah.
Ayo.
Then he's so grief-stricken that he goes after the gang himself and finds himself in over his head because he started a one-man war against a very, very badass gang from the bad side of town.
You make war on the wrong dog? Hmm? That what you did? Thought you could just go kill some little asshole because you live all the way out here?
What is she saying, Nick?
I've done nothing wrong.
Well, then why don't you tell me how you make Billy Darley this pissed off at you?
So that's basically the plot. Like that.
Okay.
You compare that to The Brave One with Jodie Foster in it, which is also about vigilante justice.
Right.
It's a totally different kind of movie. That was a drama and, you know, her angst at becoming a vigilante. And then this one is more like The Punisher. You know, the movie The Punisher, where he just goes ballistic. It's an action revenge film, really.
Mm-hmm.
Wife called it a B movie.
Really?
Like, yeah. He said even the colors look very cheap, like low end.
Maybe it's purposely one.
I don't know. I think it's B+, lah. But that's just me, you know. It's very violent.
Okay.
Yeah, legs get shot off.
Oh.
Fingers get shot off. Yeah, not pretty. If you don't care for the kind of moral issues and angst kind of movie, then this is the movie for you. You just want to see Kevin Bacon kick ass. You know.
And I'm sure he's very good at that.
He was. He did the whole demented father thing. He tried very hard, you know, to lift this movie beyond just an action revenge movie. But his acting is good. I mean, he goes from executive to shaved head. He shaves his head later on in the movie. Right. It just totally snaps. And you know, he tries to lift the movie, and he got a gaunt look.
Mm.
And he's quite fit too. So when he goes ballistic, he looks like a real badass. But a bit disappointed that he was in this movie.
Oh, was it?
I was. I mean, I expected him to be in better ones. I guess one, you know, I guess you have to pay the bills.
True. And you haven't seen him in many movies lately.
Lately,
right?
Yeah. I don't know why. The only other famous actor in this movie, my wife was like, nobody famous in this movie, one. All unknowns. Which is true. It's just him. Then suddenly, out of the blue, you got John Goodman.
Oh, okay.
You know John Goodman, right? Like, he's the Flintstones, right? Isn't he? And he's suddenly this gangster boss.
Mm.
It's totally, I don't know, from a casting perspective, it's wrong.
But convincing?
Bizarre, not convincing.
Okay.
You don't get a sense that, yeah, too much baggage, yeah. He tries very hard. It's not a big role anyway. It's just a minor role. But still, when he comes out, he tries to be imposing and mean and scary. And he wears these glasses, which are like magnifying glasses. And makes him look kind of like goldfish. But you see, it's the Flintstones guy. It's Fred. Fred's a bad guy. I also have to say, these gangsters are like the lamest bad guys I've ever seen.
Oh, okay.
I mean, look. It's either that or Kevin Bacon is a really fast learning executive who can pick up and go Rambo in 5 minutes learning how to use a weapon.
Right.
The guy doesn't even know how to load a gun.
Yeah, okay, that's lame.
Yeah, then he can take them on alone. Then there's not just one or two gangsters. It's a whole gang of 7 or 8 of them.
Mm. You mean it's not part of his ongoing training as a Fortune 500?
Yeah, but yet, you know, driven by grief and revenge, you know, he can suddenly do crazy-ass stunts and, and just, you know, kill them, you know.
As my mom would say, 走黑了吗?
走黑, yeah. And I think that's really annoying was the music. It was just this drama, it was this ominous drama music throughout the whole movie. Okay, we get it. It's one of those movies you should watch when you have nothing better to do. And you shouldn't, like, bring your wife to watch it. Or else she'll say you wasted her time. It's a guy thing, like, you know, hey man, check out the week. Like, blew off the guy's leg.
Yeah. So you have to go with your drinking buddies, is it?
Probably, yeah. Or you, no, and then you don't go with your drinking buddies. You rent the movie and you stay home and get some beers, and all of you just, like, get drunk and watch it.
Okay, so don't watch it if you are not going to do that.
Yeah, even for Kevin Bacon fans, it's a bit of a stretch.
Let down, huh?
Yeah. Thanks for joining us. It's Mr. Brown.
And the Sling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
A production of Sing. What? Show.com.